So have you ever said this to yourself before? God, I don't know if you're out there. I don't know if you're listening. But if you are, I need you. Because I've got a situation and I've got a circumstance going on in my life right now, and it's brought me to my knees, and I don't know where else to go. And you heard nothing. You got the silent treatment from God. You know, nobody likes the silent treatment. I mean, in your interpersonal relationships, isn't the silent treatment just about the worst thing that you can do to somebody else? Like, I would rather have somebody just completely rip me a new one with words than give me the silent treatment. Because at least with words, I know that they care enough to respond, to have something to say in the situation. But the silent treatment, it makes me feel like a person just doesn't care at all. Like they've given up on the relationship. You know, I don't know all of you super well. I don't know your thoughts. I don't know the situations that you've faced, but I'd be willing to bet a pretty substantial amount that at some point in your life, you have prayed and you have prayed and you have prayed for something or for someone else, and you have felt like God didn't listen. You have felt like you were given the silent treatment. You lost your job, and it was unexpected, and you prayed that God would provide, give you a job equal or better to the one that you lost, and days turned into weeks, and weeks turned into months, and nothing. You have a brother or sister, and they came down with a really serious illness. They've got a health crisis, and you prayed and you prayed and you prayed, God, please, I'm begging you, take it away. Please do something about this. And you heard nothing. You got the silent treatment. You have a son or a daughter, and they're addicted. And you've prayed and prayed and prayed and prayed, God, please help them. Heal them of their depression. Heal them of their anxiety. Fix this thing. Your marriage is crumbling and it's falling apart. God, please help us. Save us. Fix them. Fix us. You wanted to get into that college so badly. God, please make it happen. Make it work. Intercede. Do something in my situation. God, we want to have a baby so bad. That's all we want. Help us get pregnant, please. I'm begging you. I'm on my knees, and I'm crying out to you. And you heard nothing. Silence. You see, for the last few weeks, we've been in this series, Communication Breakdown. We've been talking about prayer. We've been talking about having intimacy with God. We're talking about having authentic communication, having a relationship with Him. But what happens when you've done everything that you have been taught to do? Last week we talked about how to pray. Jesus shows us, gives us an example, a model of what that looks like. God, I've done all of that. I've prayed the way that you asked me to pray. I've actually took the time to try to have intimacy with you. And yet, I don't feel like you've come through. I don't feel like you've given me the answer to the questions that I've been asking you. And the question I have for us as we begin today, is how do we deal with that? How do we reconcile that? That there is supposedly a God who loves us and cares about us, has a desire to be in relationship with us, and yet sometimes he seems so silent in our lives. See, the truth is today, I believe that for some of you, this is the reason that you stopped praying altogether. You know what? Forget it, God. If you're not going to listen, if you're not going to pay any attention to me, I'm done. For some of us, and this breaks my heart, I think this is the reason that maybe you haven't been able to have a relationship with God at all. Or maybe you've just given up on God altogether. How can I follow a God? How can I believe in a God who says that he loves me and cares about me and yet doesn't seem to answer me so often? And that breaks my heart. Because what I believe is that there is a God who loves you and cares about you and is listening and wants to work and move in your life and in the people's lives that you're praying for. But we've got to wrestle with a question. We've got to wrestle with this question. God, if you are loving and you are caring, and you desire to be a part of my life, why don't you answer my prayer? And what I want to do today is I want to talk about this word, perspective. Because so much of life, and I believe so much of following Jesus and understanding who God is, comes down to our perspective. The way that you look at something, the angle that you look at something changes or has the propensity to change what you're seeing. Like, for instance, we were heading back to central Pennsylvania, my family and I, for Thanksgiving a couple weeks ago. And we're driving along the highway, and all of a sudden, up ahead, there was this truck, and we were coming up on it. We were going to pass it in a few seconds. And Autumn says to me, "It's really weird. On the back of that truck, it looks like a statue of Mary, like holding Jesus, you know, sweet little 8-pound, 6-ounce baby Jesus, all snuggly, but still omnipotent, right?" Okay, sorry, I digress. And as we continue to pull up onto this statue of Mary, the closer we got, we started to realize that's not a statue of Mary. And as we went by it and got right up next to it, we realized it's some kind of cylinder-shaped thing with this dirty old tarp wrapped around it with bungee cords. I kid you not, it looked like a statue of Mary. But as we got closer and closer and we began to realize that's not what it is, it was like, wow, we were way off. It doesn't look anything like that now. And the truth is, when we think about God, I think so often we have this perspective of him. We have a perspective based on our life experiences and our own biases, and we're way off. We're not even close. And that's what I want to just get to the heart of here for a few minutes today. I want to encourage you to change your perspective about the unanswered prayers that you have experienced in your life and begin to look at this from a different angle. And so if you brought something to write with today, I would encourage you to mark this down because this is the message. The answer to your unanswered prayer is found in his unending promise. That's where the answer to your unanswered prayers are going to be found. When it feels like God isn't there, when it feels like he's silent, look for his promise. And so the question today becomes, what does he promise us? And maybe first and foremost, we need to answer the question, what does he not promise us? Because I think in our culture that we live in today, there's some prevailing thoughts that say, you know what, if you begin to follow God, if you begin to follow Jesus, that your life is just all of a sudden going to be so great and so perfect and so wonderful. And all of your circumstances are just going to work out exactly the way that you expect them to. God never promises that. He never promises that everything's going to work out the way that we want. He doesn't promise that we're not going to go through difficult things, that life isn't going to be hard. But he does promise us some things. And I believe the things that he promises us are better than the things we wish he would promise us. And so number one, he promises that he loves us and the people we're praying for. He loves us with an everlasting love. And he loves the people that you are praying for. He wants good things for his people. Now you might be saying, Justin, okay, that's great. You're saying God loves us. How do we know? Especially when he's silent, when it doesn't feel like he's close or near and like he doesn't care. How do I know that God really loves me? You've probably all heard this verse before. It's maybe the most famous verse in the entire Bible. It's John 3:16. But this is how we know that God loves us. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. For God so loved you, Justin. For God so loved you, sitting in the audience, you listening. God so loved you that he was literally willing to die for you. There is no greater love, Jesus says, than to give up one's life for one's friend. To give up your life for someone else says, yeah, I love you. Because you don't do that for somebody that you don't love. God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have what? Eternal life. Do you know what that means? Do we understand? I think we sort of do, but then we read that verse, we hear that verse, and it just becomes normal. That's not normal. He's offering us immortality. He's offering us the opportunity to live forever. The thing that we spend billions and billions and trillions of dollars on in this country, trying to come up with ways and medications and you know, scientific ways to make people live long. He's offering that to us because he loves us. And you might be saying, okay, Justin, but what about my friend that I prayed and prayed and prayed for? They had this addiction. They had this depression issue, this anxiety issue. And I prayed and I prayed and I prayed. And nothing happened. How can a loving God do that? The truth is that without free will, there's no such thing as love. A few months ago, we did a series and we talked about this. And it is essential to understanding God's love for us, that he gives us free will. Without free will, there is no ability to truly love. Without free will, it's just manipulation and control. It's forcing somebody to do something. That's not love. And so when you pray for somebody, believe me, God is working and he is trying to intercede in their life, but they have to receive it and they have to do something with it. They have to allow what God is doing to actually do some work in their life. Just because someone doesn't change doesn't mean that God isn't working. Just means that they're blocking the help. Okay, Justin, great. But what about the person in my life who's got cancer? And they didn't ask for it, and they didn't do anything to deserve it, and there they are. And I've prayed and prayed, and nothing has happened. First of all, let me just say, I don't know if we're ever going to fully understand this on this side of heaven. And if that's something you're going through right now, it breaks my heart. It's a horrible thing to have to go through, whether it's you or watching somebody else that you love. But here's what I know about our God. He cares very, very deeply about your spirit and your soul. And what he recognizes that we are so blind to sometimes is that this life is but a blip on the radar. It is a tiny, tiny little speck in eternity. And what he cares about more than anything is your spirit and your soul. We get so fixated on the physical, on our bodies, on the things that we can see. But what really matters is the unseen, the things that we can't see. What's going on inside of our heart and our soul, that is what God is trying to work on, because he knows that is what's going to live forever and ever and ever. He loves you so very much. And just because in a moment he's silent, just because he doesn't answer our prayer, maybe the way that we want to, or maybe at all, doesn't mean that he doesn't love us. He promises to always love us, no matter what, no matter what we do, no matter how many times we turn our back on him. But he also promises to have our best interest in mind. Because he loves us, he has our best interest in mind. And sometimes our God, because he loves us, has to do some things or not do some things to protect us from ourselves. Sometimes he has to say no to protect us from ourselves. You ever thought about this as a kid? I remember constantly asking my parents for things. Mom, I want this. Dad, I want this. I want to do this. I want to have this experience. And I don't know about you, but I got no a whole lot more than I got yes as a kid. And if you're a parent now, I guarantee you, you're saying no a whole lot more than you are saying yes. Why? Is it because you don't love your kids? No, I know that. I know you love your kids. You're telling them no because you love them. Because there are certain things that will be harmful to them if you say yes. If your four-year-old comes to you and says, I want to watch the Saw movies, you're not gonna say yes, right? Because you know if they're watching slasher movies at 4 years old, that's probably not a good image to be putting in there for the rest of their life. Bad choice, right? You're not gonna do that. You're gonna protect them. When the oven is on, when the stove is on, you don't let your little kid walk over and put their hand on the stove. Now you say, no, don't do that. You're going to hurt yourself. And in the same exact way, your Father, who loves you so very much, sometimes has to say no. And I think this is where we get hung up sometimes. We interpret no sometimes as silence. And when I was a little kid, you know what happened when my parents told me no? I didn't like it. Right, we'd throw a little temper tantrum. Even if it wasn't external, we'd throw it inside. Why can't I do that? I want that. Not really understanding or realizing how harmful it would be if we got what we actually wanted. See, what God understands and knows that we don't is that he knows what we need. Not just what we want. He knows what we need. And so he's protecting us. Sometimes it's not a no, it's a not yet. Sometimes God is looking at us and he's saying, you know what? It's not time. It's not the right timing for this. Because somewhere down the line, somewhere down the road, I've actually got something better for you, better planned for you than what you're asking for right now. And you don't even see it. You don't even know it yet. But I'm going to reveal it in my time for your own good. He wants what is good for us. I love what Matthew 7, starting in verse 9, what he says. He says, which of you, if your son asks for bread, will give him a stone? Or if he asks for a fish, will give him a snake? If you then, though you are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven give good gifts to those who ask him? Your Father wants to give you good things, and he knows what is good, what is best for you. And this is a hard thing because in our humanness, right, we're kind of arrogant. Can we just admit that? We lack humility sometimes. No, I know what's best for me. But the truth is, in God's eyes, we're just like children. We're just like our own children, and we're just like the children that we were when we were growing up. We don't know what's best for us, but he does. And he wants to give that to you. See, the truth is we don't see the whole picture. Right? We see this painting, but we see a tiny little corner of it. God sees the entire thing. He sees the whole painting, and he understands that when one thing happens over here, there is a effect. There is a chain reaction that happens over here. There's a ripple effect, like when you throw a rock into a pond. It just doesn't affect that one spot. It affects everything else around it. Have you ever thought about this? If I get that job, that means somebody else didn't. That means that if I don't get this job, somebody else did. What if they actually needed it more than I did? I don't know. You don't know. That's the point. But our Heavenly Father knows. He knows how all of that stuff is working together. And he knows what he wants to do inside of you. And this is so vitally important. He is trying to do something inside of each of us. And he's working on our spirit. He's working on our heart. He wants to bring us more joy and contentment and peace. He wants to make us more influential in this world for the kingdom. And sometimes he will do whatever is necessary to bring that about. At the end of the day, here's what we have to do. We have to trust that he actually knows what's best for us. And trust that if we will lean into that, he will make our path straight. He will take us where he wants us to go. And it will be so much better than the path that we would have chosen for ourselves. Again, I love this. In Proverbs 3, in verse 5, it says, "Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways, submit to him, and he will make your paths," what? Straight. I don't know about you, but I found myself off in the woods way too many times in this life. And if I had just leaned into him and trusted him, followed his plan, I could have stayed right on that straight and narrow, right on the path, heading towards where he wanted me to go. That's all he's saying. Just trust me. Trust me with the big picture. Lean into that, and I'll take care of the rest. I love what the theologian J.I. Packer says about this whole concept. He says, "Perhaps he means to strengthen us in patience, good humor, compassion, humility, or weakness. Perhaps he has new lessons in self-denial and self-distrust to teach us. Perhaps he wishes to break us of complacency or undetected forms of pride and conceit. Perhaps his purpose is simply to draw us closer to himself. Or perhaps God is preparing us for forms of service of which at present we have no inkling." We have no idea what God is doing behind the scenes and how he wants to change us and work in our lives and maybe work to impact other people through us. Will you trust that he's got the whole picture, even though you can't see it? Then finally, he promises when we pray for his will to answer. That when we pray and begin to understand that his will is better than ours, and begin to pray for his will to be done in our life and the lives of others, this is when he begins to hear us and to begin to truly move in a powerful way. 1 John 5:14 says this: "This is the confidence we have in approaching God, that if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us." This is the confidence we have that we can approach God. And if we ask according to his will, he is going to hear us. That is good news. The challenge for me, and I believe the challenge for you, is we have to get to a place where we actually want God's will to be done in our lives. And that's difficult. Because most of the time, I don't want God's will I want my will. I want what I want. And what God is trying to help us understand here that will honestly change our life, this is so important, that when we begin to want his will, our lives become so much better. That what we thought we wanted pales in comparison to what he wants to give us if we will begin to just ask for it. It will change everything. Nobody gave us a greater example of this than Jesus. And I want to look at a passage here found in Luke chapter 22, starting in verse 39. And we're going to find Jesus just moments before he's about to be betrayed by his best friends, the people that he's been doing life with for the last 3 years, his disciples. He's going to be tried, convicted of crimes he didn't commit, put on a cross, and killed for the sin of the world. And just before this happens, he gets away, and he has this quiet, intimate moment with his Father. Let's read this together. This is what happens. It says, Jesus went out as usual to the Mount of Olives, and his disciples followed him. On reaching the place, he said to them, "Pray that you will not fall into temptation." He withdrew about a stone's throw beyond them, knelt down, and prayed. "Father, if you are willing, take this cup from me. Yet, not my will, but yours be done." And an angel from heaven appeared to him and strengthened him. And so Jesus, he comes to his Father. He recognizes the gravity of the situation. He knows what is about to happen. And he comes to his Father and he pleads with his Father. "Father, take this cup from me." In other words, "I don't want to do this. I know how much this is going to hurt. I know how much pain I'm going to have to go through in this moment. Take it away, please. I'm begging you." It actually says that Jesus sweated blood, drops of blood. He was so stressed and anxious about this moment. But the next part is so powerful. "Yet not my will, but yours be done." In other words, "God, I don't want to do this. Father, I don't want to go through this, but I recognize that you have a bigger plan here. And if this is what's best for me and what's best for mankind, then I want your will to be done." And what's amazing to me in this moment is that God the Father didn't say yes. He said no. And I am so glad he said no. Because his no led to the greatest, most important event in history. Jesus on the cross paying the penalty for my sin, so that I can live with him forever, so that I can be connected to him and have intimacy with him. He knows what's best for us. Even when it doesn't feel like it, even in the midst of our worst hour and our worst day, he knows. And so I don't know what you've been praying for. I don't know what situation or circumstance you might find yourself in today. But I know this, I know that he loves you. I know that he has your best interest in mind. I know that he has a plan and a purpose for your life, for however short or long you are here on this earth. And I know that he hears you, even when it doesn't feel like it. And so today, here's my challenge for us. As a community, as a people who are trying to get better at this whole prayer thing, trying to understand God from a new perspective, would you begin to look at the promises? Would you take your focus off the situation and the circumstance and what you feel like is a silent treatment from God? And would you begin to look at his promises? The answer to your unanswered prayer is found in his unending promise. The answer to your prayer is found in his promises. And if you don't know Christ today, if you've never had a relationship with him, if all of this stuff has just been so confusing and you just haven't been able to get there, can I just encourage you? Take a step today, a simple step, and say, Jesus, I'm willing to give you a try here. I'm willing to find out if you really are who you say you are, if you really do love me the way that you say you love me. And would you put your faith and your trust in him? Give him your life, because here's what's going to happen. From this point forward, as you give him your life and as you say, your will be done in mine, your life is going to get so much better. I promise you that. That is a promise. That is a guarantee. He's not going to make everything perfect. But in here, you're going to begin to have more joy and peace and contentment than you've ever had. My prayer is that we would become a community of people who pray for his will and watch what happens in our lives. So this morning, we're gonna spend one more song here worshiping him. And if you felt like he's been silent, maybe this is a moment to just cry out to him again. Maybe it's a moment to say, okay, God, I want to change my perspective on how I felt about this whole thing. Maybe it's a moment to just give him glory and honor and praise because he has been good to you and you have prayed and you know that he has answered. Whatever the case might be, this is our moment to worship him. So would you stand with me this morning? I want to pray for us and then we're going to worship. Father God, we love you, we praise you, we thank you, we give this morning to you, and we recognize that even when it seems like you're silent, even when it seems like you're not there, that you are listening, that you hear us, that you have a plan and a purpose for us that we can't see. And so I pray that you would help us to trust you with all that we have. And I pray that you begin to move in our lives. Pray that you would begin to move in other people's lives as we pray for them. God, may we never take for granted the opportunity that we have to have intimacy with our Heavenly Father. You have been so very good to us. We love you, Jesus. Thank you for what you did for us on the cross. It's in your perfect and holy name we pray. And everybody said, amen.